So if you were at any of the Vinyl Cafe Christmas concerts, not this Christmas, but the Christmas of 2005, you will no doubt remember Holly Carr. If you weren't at any of those shows, you missed something very fun. Holly's an artist from Canning, Nova Scotia, and she traveled with us that Christmas, and she set up huge silk canvases on stage and painted these wonderful Christmas scenes during the show. Mostly while a Vinyl Cafe orchestra was playing, but during one of my stories as well. It was the first time Holly had been out on a tour like that, and she had a great time. But her dream, as she told us over and over, was not to perform with the Vinyl Cafe Orchestra. Her dream was to perform with a symphony orchestra. Anyway, after a month-long tour that began in Victoria and ended in Montreal, Holly became a friend of everyone who works on this show, and we have stayed in touch. And a month or so ago, when we were in Nova Scotia, we pulled our Vinyl Cafe tour bus up to her house in Canning for Sunday dinner. Holly, her husband Alan, and their kids Jack and Lily were waiting for us in the driveway. It was the weekend of the last great winter storm of this winter, and when Holly met us in the driveway, she was still reeling from a winter adventure that bears retelling. "I've barely slept in the last 48 hours," she said. It turns out that the Christmas Holly toured with a Vinyl Cafe, the people who work at the National Arts Center in Ottawa, where we do a show every Christmas, were so impressed with her work that they invited her to come back and perform with Boris Brought and the National Arts Center Orchestra. Her dream had come true. The concert was scheduled for a Saturday afternoon, a matinee. Holly left Canning at 6:30 on Friday morning, heading for the Halifax airport with her paint box, her huge canvas bag of foldable frames, her suitcase, and a return ticket to Ottawa. "I was due there Friday afternoon for a rehearsal," she told me. She had heard that the weather might be turning bad. She had heard that there was a storm heading east. But the weather was still fine that Friday morning. So at 10 a.m., as she was getting ready to board her flight, Holly was feeling confident that things were going to work out. 10 a.m. was about when Air Canada announced there was a mechanical problem with her plane. Something about a blown tire that couldn't be fixed. The flight was canceled. Holly, and everyone else with a ticket to Ottawa, was invited to go back through security to retrieve their luggage and to line up at the counter and rebook their flight. The line was, well, you can imagine what the line was like. Holly was somewhere near the middle and still nowhere near the wicket after 2 hours. And that's when things began to fall apart. The storm, which people had been talking about, was now sweeping through Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal. And it was getting closer. Flights were suddenly being canceled left, right, and center. Before long, TV news crews began showing up at the airport to cover the chaos. After 2 more hours, 4 hours in total, Holly made it to the front of the line. It was now 2 in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, and the man at the counter told Holly that he couldn't get her out until Sunday morning. Full day after her concert. All the other flights were booked, said the man. Holly called her sister Heather. Heather had a ticket to fly from Halifax to Ottawa later that night. Heather and her kids were flying to Ottawa to watch Holly perform with the orchestra. Heather said, "You can use my ticket." Heather called Air Canada to make the arrangements. Air Canada explained that, security being what it is these days, they were unable to make that transfer. Heather begged. It didn't do any good. Heather didn't give up. Heather called Aeroplan. She had 70,000 Aeroplan points that she was planning on using to take her children to Ireland. But Heather knew the concert was her sister's dream. Heather offered all 70,000 points in exchange for a seat on that night's plane to Ottawa. Essentially, she was offering them a bribe. Aeroplan bit. They found her a ticket in economy. And so Holly, relieved that she was going to make it in time for her concert, whiled away what was left of Friday afternoon at the airport, waiting for her sister to arrive, who got there by the skin of her teeth. On the way to the airport, the windshield literally blew out of Heather's car. The tow truck that she called said he would take her to a garage. Heather said, "Take me to the airport." She arrived in a tow truck just in time to clear security. It was about then, supper time on Friday, that it began to snow in Halifax. Holly and Heather weren't concerned. They were through security. Their luggage was checked, and their plane was waiting at the gate. 2 hours later, nothing had happened. And then there was an announcement. You guessed it. The flight had been canceled due to the storm. When they were invited to get back in line and rebook, Holly broke into tears. She went back through security for the second time that day and retrieved her bags for the second time, and Heather headed home, and Holly got into her car and drove her teary way to her younger sister's house, her sister Hope. The plan was that Hope would get on the computer and see if she couldn't find a flight for Saturday morning. The storm was really blowing now. When Holly arrived and Hope saw her standing on the stoop, wet and disheveled and teary, Hope took the bull by the horns. Hope said, "We're going back to the airport, and we're going to talk someone into getting you on a plane." Hope threw a coat over her pajamas, and off they went. When they got there, they got back in line, and God bless Hope, she talked the man from Air Canada into getting Holly on the last remaining plane. But just as he was printing out her boarding pass, that flight was canceled right in front of them. "There's just no way now," said the man at the counter. "Yes, there is," said Hope. Hope looked at Holly. "Come on," said Hope. "We're driving to Ottawa." And so Hope, still in her pajamas, and Holly, clutching her paints, tumbled into Hope's car and headed out into the storm. It was 9 o'clock Friday night. Hope called her husband. "I'm not coming home," she said. "I'm driving Holly to Ottawa." Holly called her husband. "Have you any idea how long it takes to drive to Ottawa?" she asked. Alan said they'd need 15 hours. Hope hunkered down behind the wheel and smiled. They had 13 and a half. "Don't worry," said Hope. "We'll make it." The storm was so bad now that the only other vehicles on the road were big trucks. "You should sleep," said Hope. And Holly, who had been up since 6 a.m., closed her eyes. When she woke up, the car was spinning down the highway backwards, around and around. "We did about 10 rotations," said Holly. Hope just put her hand out and said, "Don't worry, we'll be fine." And they were. They pulled up in front of the National Arts Center at exactly 10:30 Saturday morning, with 4 hours to spare before the concert and 28 and a half hours after Holly had left home. Holly went in to get ready for the show. Hope, who was still in her pajamas, headed out to buy some clothes so she could watch it. When it was over, they piled back into Hope's car and drove home, grabbing a couple of hours' sleep in the parking lot of a pizza joint near Quebec City. They arrived home around 3 on Sunday afternoon, and Holly was waiting in the driveway to meet us when the Vinyl Cafe crew pulled up a few hours later for supper. She looked tired, but happy. "My sisters and I are completely different," said Holly as we walked up her long driveway, "but we've always been there for each other." She looked down at the dirt road. "I know I sound like an idiot," she said, "but playing with the orchestra was a dream of my lifetime, and all that mess somehow made it all the richer. I am so lucky." Here's a song Holly could have been listening to on that wild drive. This is "Don't Let Your Dreams Drift Away" by Rick Fiennes and Susie Vinnick.
Life can get you down if you let it. Don't you let your dreams drift away. Keep your eye on the prize, you're more likely to get it. Listen what I say.
Oh, what's the use of living if you don't have any fun?
You better do some living before your living's done. Life can get you down if you let it. Don't you let your dreams drift away. Life can get you down if you let it. Don't you let your dreams drift away. You be good to yourself, don't forget it. You'll stay happy that way.
Oh, when your heart is broken, there are plenty of sad days.
But keep your heart open and love will find your way. Life can get you down if you let it. Don't you let your dreams drift away. Ah. Your dreams drift away.
When you're knee deep in debt, at least you got the credit. You'll find a way to pay.
There are people in this world who will try to pull you down.
But plenty more to lift you up if you just look around.
Life can get you down if you let it. Don't you let your dreams drift away. Yes, life can get you down. If you let it, don't you let your dreams drift away. These are words to live by, you can bet it will help you out someday. Being bored is for the boring, don't you sit around and whine.
There's more one can do than one can do in one's time.
I can get you down if you let it, don't you let your dreams drift away. Don't you let your dreams drift away.
That was Rick Fiennes and Susie Vinnick singing their tune, Don't Let Your Dreams Drift Away. And that's on their album of duets. The album's called Nothing Halfway, and it won a Maple Blues Award this year.